right now is an excellent time for our industry as it's learning new things. It's adopting new things, and it's growing in its perception and execution of marketing.
Welcome to Manufacturing Happy Hour, the podcast where we get real about the latest trends and technologies impacting modern manufacturers.
Manufacturing
Happy Hour. Each week, we interview industry experts that are at the top of their craft and give you the tools, tactics, and strategies you need to take your career and your business to the next level. And now, your host, Chris Lukey.
All right. It is episode 175. Today's episode is about the evolution of industrial marketing. And this one was recorded live from the kickoff party at the 2024 Industrial Marketing Summit. If you're not familiar with that event, that is okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. This took place at the end of January, beginning of February 2024 in Austin, Texas, one of my favorite towns. And I remember getting a call from a couple past guests of Manufacturing Happy Hour, Wendy Covey from True Marketing and Joe Sullivan from Gorilla 76. And they were like, hey, we're thinking about doing the Industrial Marketing Summit as a standalone event. It had existed in the past, but we'd love to have you be a part of it. And this was one of those events where my gut reaction, immediate answer was yes. I mean, this event had over 200 of the top industrial marketers either in attendance or speaking at the event, and many of them that I'd only gotten to meet online before. So there were panels on personal branding. That was one that I led. There were conversations about how to communicate the effectiveness of your marketing program or how to launch a marketing program if your company really doesn't have one. Content marketing, artificial intelligence. All of that was covered in the event. And this episode is a bit of an overview of what's on the mind of marketers in 2024. We'll hear about their strategies, their bets for the future, their top tips. But whether you listen to this now or at a later date, there's a lot of timeless marketing content in this episode. So if you're listening to this, make sure you are sending this to all of your friends, coworkers, and leaders that are either in marketing or need to know about it. During this episode, we'll be talking to five different people that live and breathe industrial marketing every day. They're all marketers, their respective companies, so you're going to be getting some very boots-on-the-ground perspectives. Also, this episode is actually divided up into three shorter, separate interviews, and here's a bit about what you can expect from each of those. Number one, our first interview is a bit of a roundtable with Adam Beck, Director of Marketing at Cadenas Part Solutions, Carrie Niedek, Strategic Marketing Leader at Baker Hughes, and John Joyce, Founder Integration Architect at Bridger.io. We'll discuss why marketing is having a moment right now and how to market to engineers, among other topics. Second, we'll get a bit more into marketing strategies and tactics as we chat with Amanda Marks, Senior Vice President of Marketing, Digital Strategy, and IT at Harding Americas. Then finally, we have an excellent candid conversation with Melissa Gertz, Director of Marketing at Gray Solutions, as a great way to wrap up and tie our conversations together. As always, if you want to learn more, go check out the show notes page at manufacturinghappyhour.com/175. And that's a very easy link to share with all the marketers in your network. You can post it on LinkedIn. You can send it in an email. If you found this episode valuable, I'd love it if you shared it to social media. Share your favorite takeaway. Share the link. Again, that's manufacturinghappyhour.com/175. And of course, if you want to join a community of nearly 700 manufacturing leaders, well, go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/community to join our community that has executives, industrial marketers, engineers, you name it. There, we're going to be continuing this conversation online. That is a LinkedIn group. manufacturinghappyhour.com/community will take you right there. Okay, with all the niceties out of the way, it's time to meet up with John, Carrie, and Adam to get us kicked off with our first of a few conversations at the Industrial Marketing Summit.
All right, is everyone feeling good?
Feeling good.
All right. Hey, first thing we got to do is raise our glasses. Cheers.
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 Welcome to the Industrial Marketing Summit. This has been a long time coming. It's exciting to have a full roundtable discussion for our first interview. And Adam, my first question goes out to you because it is manufacturing happy hour. We got to set the tone. You know, where are we? Set the vibe, but then tell us more importantly, why are we doing this event in Austin, Texas?
We're like minute one of the Industrial Marketing Summit in 2024. So that's really exciting. It's happening right now in real time. So,
yeah.
And then we're in Austin because, well, it's a lot better weather than everywhere else that we had considered. And it's a fantastic spot. There's a lot of industry happening here. And also we had a home base for Wendy Covey and the True marketing team. So they're a good anchor here that we had boots on the ground. But we're actually at a place called the Cedar Door right now, which is a really cool bar, patio, restaurant venue. And we're this is the welcome.
Yeah, right at the kickoff party. You're right, minute one of the event. And I think it's very appropriate that you're all here because you were involved in the Industrial Marketing Summit before it became what it is today, a big standalone event. So, Kerry, the next question is for you. You know, what was the vibe of industrial marketing like back when the summit started? Was it like 2018? What am I? Am I making things
2019.
Up? 2019. Okay, 2019, 1 year on.
And I remember, as an industrial marketer, I didn't really go to events like Content World and some of the general more B2C focused marketing events. And it just so happened that our CMO at the time was speaking there. And so I got to go, and you guys were piggybacking with the very first Industrial Marketing Summit and asked me to speak, surprisingly and flatteringly. Thank you. But it was really exciting because there was so much B2C focus when you go to any of these marketing focused events. And, while all the fundamentals still apply, there's a different flavor with B2B. And then there's a slightly different flavor with industrial, right? I mean,
sure. Yeah.
We're dealing with engineers, we're dealing with software people, we're dealing, it's just kind of another different flavor. And it was really exciting to be a part of it. You know, within the larger event that we were piggybacked on, you didn't see it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the attendance was so great. That's why so many people kind of popped in. Oh, what's going on over here? Industrial, what's this? You know, it was great.
Yeah, and you got pretty, you mentioned it. It was Content Marketing World. This was like an event on the last day of Content Marketing World, very much attached to the conference itself. And John, you were there as well. So I'd love to get your take. I mean, same question for you. Like, what was your impression of the vibe back then around industrial marketing or B2B marketing, whatever spin you want to put on this?
Yeah, well, like was just said, like there's not very many things that focus on industrial marketing. There's like literally nothing that focuses on industrial marketing. And there's a lot of people doing industrial marketing. I mean, it's a lot of industrial companies. So the concept, when it first came out, it was like genius concept. I think everybody in industrial marketing was like, wow, why have we not had this before now? Like, has nobody ever has come up with this idea of getting us all in a room together where we can learn from each other?
Mm-hmm.
So the vibe is actually still the same. Honestly, I feel like it's just excitement because there's no other place where industrial marketers can get together and learn from each other things very specific to industrial marketing. You know? So that's what it was like then, and it's still like that today. It's still super exciting just to be here.
I've got two questions I'm going to ask to everyone here, because this interview is flying by because we've got so many great personalities up here. But my first question is, and we'll do this snake draft style. John, we'll start with you, and we'll go down the line to Adam, and then we'll go the reverse order for the second one. So, John, why is an event around industrial marketing so important at this moment in time here at the beginning of 2024?
So a lot of industrial companies are in a different position in their transformation, let's say their sophistication level, than the rest of businesses out there. So I think right now is an excellent time for industry as it's learning new things, it's adopting new things, and it's growing in its kind of perception and execution of marketing and its sophistication in all of that. So it's super needed right now because just the state of digital transformation in industrial companies is like ripe for this kind of stuff, for people to learn new things, learn how to apply new technologies, and just learn how to use systems they already have, you know?
Yeah. I like your comment about the sophistication level. I think that's a great segue to you, Carrie. I mean, you're at Baker Hughes. Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, I think that there's, I think kind of having a focus on industrial market. I love what you said about the not having industrial marketers coming together. There's a lot of people doing industrial marketing. But you've got things like the generational shift right now. You know, I talked about this 5 years ago, just like people are consuming, you know, we're learning how people are consuming differently. Industrial manufacturing companies go to market, you know, there's a lot of different ways they go to market. You got to know where your audience is. You got to know how to reach them, you know, and again, that just the different ways of consumption and how are you generating meaningful content as a marketer when you're dealing with, you know, basically a very highly operational engineering focused kind of company who may not even really appreciate all of what marketing could do for them.
Sure. Well, I'm going to go a little deeper then. Like, what does meaningful content look like in your perspective to an engineer, right? You're at Baker Hughes, you're involved, and I'd love to get a little, like, what your perspectives are on that.
You know, I think it really depends. I get frustrated with my product management team sometimes. You know, they fall in love with their products. Like, it's 316 stainless steel. And I'm like, why do they care? You know, tell me why they care about that. You know, it's... Really, you really get to the true roots and bones of being a good marketer is understanding your audience and understanding. I mean, my audience is engineers. My audience is maintenance engineers and process plant designers. And our product, you know, with the company I'm at right now is much more highly specialized stuff. So sure. I've got to be more techie. I've got to be more technical. I've got to speak to kind of some more of the things that are going to resonate. But I still have to be able to get their attention. It still has to be compelling.
Sure.
You know, when you get engineers talking to engineers, they're going to focus in on all the details. You bring that marketer in the middle of that to make it wow. And then you can get, then you can throw the details.
Right? I like the mix that you're talking about where your product managers are in love with their products. And yes, engineers do care about some of the details, but how do you first get their attention? And then how do you focus on the things that are really relevant to the customer, the engineer, versus maybe what a product manager is excited about, but not as relevant to them. I love that. Now, Adam, you're here at the tail end of this one, but you need to kick us off the next question. So, you know, why is an event focused on industrial marketing so important right now? And really, it's why is industrial marketing so important?
Well,
it
comes up to manufacturing. Take it. Manufacturing isn't going anywhere. There's still things going to be made, and there's a generation of people that want to consume the content, like Carrie's saying, and want to promote content, and they don't want to be sold to in the way that previous generations want to be sold to. And if we can't all compare notes and share and learn, because all the B2C companies, they have all the cool stuff, but we, you know, the B2B companies have the same cool stuff. They just have to apply it slightly differently, and it's all a little bit of a tweak and adjustment to make sure it's reaching this audience. And that's where this all comes down to. Industrial marketing is cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing, and that's why we're here to wave the flag for that.
It was funny. I saw a post on LinkedIn today that I think this is one of the things that just simplified B2B versus B2C marketing the most for me. It was a simple post that said, imagine if Nike marketed like B2B companies do. And it was like talking about shoe stats and, you know, you're 87% faster. I'm making these things up right now, but it really put it in perspective where they're selling a feeling. They're selling just do it. They've simplified it into the essence that you want to feel. So I thought that
features only get you so far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we were just talking about the present. Why is an event like this so important now? But I want you all to look in your like crystal ball and say, hey, what are your big bets for marketing 2 or 3 years down the line in the industrial space? Or you can go a little broader. Where do you see the industrial space going and how does marketing keep up with that? Adam, you get to start this one.
Yeah, I think the big part of this is that people realize they are industrial marketers and that they, you know, by having an event like this or talking about the discipline of industrial marketing that, oh, hey, that's me at whatever manufacturer or a software company or a service, whatever you do, that is, and I think this event specifically is going to grow a lot. And because we're going to see a lot of people more excited about the ideas that we're talking about and the potential that it can help them with their career and their business.
Awesome. Carrie, what would you add?
You know, I think what I've been seeing, you know, being at a not a huge business with a really small team is the number of tools that are available to us as marketers, things like voiceover technology for scripting videos and AI and You know, there's a lot of, you know, with, you know, when you work for a manufacturing company, it's all engineers and you have a very small marketing group and a small marketing budget, you have got to be resourceful and you have got to go out there and find all the tools that can help you. And there are just so many cool new tools. So you gotta really keep an open mind and keep looking for things and, you know, see how to use those tools successfully so that you can have that more time to develop the stuff that enables your sales.
Excellent. And John, take us home on this one.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see with along with these tools that Carrie just talked about is a better application of the technology, like a better ability to use it, consolidation of it, more effectiveness, more personalization, more granularity, where it's like the touch points that you're having with the customers are more smooth and more engineered and more directed and more intentional than they are right now, and that the marketing experience, the whole customer experience as a whole, is going to change for industrial companies over the next few years, because industrial companies are just waking up to the value of the whole customer experience.
Sure.
This is like a sort of a new concept that's just dawning on us, that the entire customer experience is important, not just what the engineers experience.
Yeah.
But what procurement experiences, what the executive team thinks, what the distributors think, you know, everybody in the chain that's involved in sales. So I think you got all these technologies, which is just a messy mishmash of things that nobody knows how to use, you know, and I think that'll smooth out and people will learn how to use it better and just become more effective and more personalized.
Yeah, I like what you're saying about the customer experience. There's a more holistic view around this right now.
Right.
Not only are you thinking about the other roles, but I think it's interesting as we're seeing more emphasis on industrial marketing. I feel like we're also seeing a lot of these companies create their first customer success organizations as well. Like, and I don't think it's any coincidence that those things go hand in hand. So I've got, well, I'm going to throw in a rapid fire question here at the end. So what are you most excited about around marketing right now, or what's something that you think people really should be taking advantage of right now that they might not be taking advantage of in the moment? And yeah, Carrie, we'll start with you this time.
Carrie, take your time.
We'll continue the snake draft. John, we're gonna throw it back to you.
Something that I think I'm excited about. Well, rephrase that question.
Yeah, I would say something you're excited about, or what do you think more people should be taking advantage of in marketing right now, whether it's content marketing, whether it's some technology, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much everything. I think most manufacturing organizations are like in their infancy in the steps of developing their marketing, you know? So I think everything from just understanding the importance of customer experience to actively creating a content strategy, putting out content that addresses like specific goals and strategy, not just content for content. I think right now you're going to see like a big boom of spam content because of AI, you know, but people need to learn how to like take the marketing piece seriously, that it's not just engineering, but that actually marketing or somebody needs to steer that whole customer experience and that whole conversation.
I love that. Carrie, how you feel?
I feel better now.
Okay.
And it's kind of a cheesy answer, but I really think that it's important for industrial marketers to come to events like this to connect with one another, to stay in tune with, you know, watch what your competitors are doing, watch what other industrial manufacturers are doing, kind of see what kind of content is getting put out there, learn what you can about engagement. I mean, I've been doing industrial marketing for 25 years, you know, and it's changed a lot, right? So, and the world of industrial marketing that, you know, the younger generation is coming into is completely different set of rules, completely different set of tools, you know,
sure.
Completely different mindset of a sales force, you know. So I think just having that ability to network and learn from one another is really critical.
Awesome. All right, Adam, this is the last question this time. So what are your thoughts?
Well, Carrie just completely took mine, so
that's good.
I think manufacturers and industrial companies are really going to be looking at this younger audience. They're going to be building content that speaks to people on social media. I think they're going to realize that you can't just outsource everything to AI, and there has to be humans, smart humans involved, and working with engineers and really digesting this tough engineering information into digestible, consumable stuff that this generation wants to consume and buy.
Well, I thought great answers on the across the board. Great way to start our conversation tonight. One last cheers. Thank you all for jumping on Manufacturing Happy Hour.
I just want to have one more. Can I have one more quick add-on here? I want to thank these two for believing in the idea of industrial marketing and being speakers at the original Industrial Marketing Summit, because if they didn't, this one, number three, would not happen. So
thank you for real.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Yeah. Cheers.
We'll be back in a moment. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. If you want to empower your frontline leaders through standard work and skills development, then you need to check out Swipe Guide. Their collaborative platform lets frontline teams coordinate instructions, job aids, and training to optimize processes. But don't take it from me. Hear it from their clients. Here's a good one. SwipeGuide has been a game changer for our organization. We're now able to train our employees more quickly and effectively, and we've also seen a decrease in the number of errors and mistakes that are made. SwipeGuide was recently awarded Easiest Company to Do Business With and ranked one of the most user-friendly software solutions in the UX Design Awards. Plus, they're trusted by industrial frontrunners around the world, including PepsiCo, ABB, and Heineken. Speaking of Heineken, if you want to hear what it's like when SwipeGuide is implemented on a global scale, then head back and listen to episode 167, where Heineken's own Joris Stolk and SwipeGuide CEO Wilhelmine Schneider discuss the impact this platform has had on their frontline teams and international brewing operation. Check out SwipeGuide today by going to swipeguide.com. And now, back to today's episode. Okay, interview one of three. And, you know, I should have mentioned, these were, like we said at the start, recorded live at Cedar Door. Great bar, not too far from 6th Street. This was definitely like a Manufacturing Happy Hour live type thing where we were recording at the event while people were getting there, hanging out, having a good time. A lot of fun. You know, as we go through this, and then at the very end, I'm going to share some takeaways, but going back to something that I didn't really highlight when we talked about it, but Adam mentioned something that people need to realize: they're industrial marketers. And I think that goes beyond just the marketers themselves. Everyone has an opportunity to tell their company's story. So that was one of my big takeaways. Again, we'll go into more of this at the very end of all three of these interviews. But next up, I'll reintroduce our next guest. We have Amanda Marks, the Senior Vice President of Marketing, Digital Strategy, and IT at Harding Americas. If you're trying to get your messaging figured out, or if your company's specialty is maybe just one part, but a critical part of a bigger manufacturing solution, there's some great stuff to learn from this interview. So let's jump on in and chat with Amanda. Well, hey, Amanda, I mean, the only appropriate way to start this conversation is to ask the question. Actually, back up a second. Cheers. Welcome to Manufacturing Happy Hour. That is the appropriate way.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Happy to have you here. Excited to have you here. First question is, you work for Harding. So when you're in a scenario like this, we're hanging out at Cedar Door, a nice bar in Austin, Texas, not too far from 6th Street where all the action is. How do you describe what Harding does as if you're having a drink with someone?
Yeah, because, you know, generally people haven't heard of Harding. And so it's a question asked of me a lot, especially in my first year with the company. So I would tell them Harding is in the industrial connectivity space. And so what that means is, think about the heavy duty power that needs to be applied to everything from the large end of things, like heavy duty trains that run through the Swiss Alps and need power moved through cables and through connectors from one car to the next.
Yeah.
Heavy duty machinery, all the way to a super small scale cable and connector that needs to run through a robot.
Okay.
These different industrial settings that need power and data moved throughout That's what Harding does. That's what it's done for decades.
So you're a critical piece of making big equipment move or smaller equipment move, like a robot, for example.
Yeah. Well, making power move.
Making throughout, power move.
Making
okay.
power, making electricity move throughout those products, making data increasingly super important move throughout those products, signal as well, sometimes fiber optics too. Yeah.
And there's a reason I'm excited to have you here, because we were chatting before the interview and I kind of prepped you on this question a little bit, but I asked it a way you probably wouldn't have asked it yourself, because I'm like, hey, how do you make a solution that's a pretty niche part of a bigger industrial solution? Mm-hmm. How do you make that exciting? How do you pique interest? How do you market that, right? Because we can always think of these industrial companies that like do everything, for example, or hey, I can market a robot because it's moving around, it's doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you, as you do, effectively market something that is, let's say, a smaller piece of a bigger puzzle? Because that's something I think a lot of the manufacturing leaders out there can learn from.
Yeah, it is. It's such an interesting challenge because, of course, you don't want to be diminutive, like it's just a, you know, it's just a small component that isn't thought of. So what I would say is, we don't feel like we're niched. I think what we are is the connectivity piece is often assumed, overlooked by the design engineer that's imagining this big system that's going to become a robot or become some larger thing. The fact that power has to get to it and that power has to move throughout to all of these, you know, sub-sensors and sub-devices is assumed.
Yeah.
The fact that data, you know, more and more with IIoT is just going to run throughout and we're going to collect all that data two ways. It's just assumed and they may get kind of far down the road of the larger system being designed and then realize, actually, my choices in connectivity throughout this thing really matter.
Yeah.
That is true in so many different aspects of industrial, different verticals and different industry segments, everything from energy systems to data center systems to, of course, like machinery and automation and core stuff like that, to rail that I mentioned earlier. Power and data is everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think you may have helped me figure out a better way to ask that question, which is, how do you market or how do you capture someone's attention to realize that that is a critical piece of the puzzle, as you just described, before they have to figure it out the hard way when they're halfway through the project and they're like, I didn't even think about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where the fun part of marketing really comes in.
Yeah.
Because I think there are all of these factors and forces affecting the industry right now that our prospects and customers are grappling with. And we all are, like things like a changing labor force. You know, so these are like macroeconomic things of, you know, maybe the machines that you've built in the past, they were installed by a generation that's retiring, or they were installed one time and didn't need to be so modular, or they didn't need, or like the service team that used to be available, it's changing. So we have answers to those types of problems.
Yeah.
You know, when you're designing a system for a new labor force, there's ways to make it more modular and more plug and play where it's, you know, a different level of servicing that will be needed. So connecting a solution like ours to answers to big problems like that one. I mean, that is one example. Another big one I'd throw out is sustainability goals that are, you know, everywhere. Everyone has net zero goals and you read about it and you understand like the different scope one, scope two, scope three aspects of how companies are going to achieve those. And everyone's looking to their supply chain to achieve their sustainability goals. There are a lot of really interesting things that actually the connectors and cable assemblies and the way power moves in your systems can achieve those things through reduced footprints, less copper, reduced energy use, like especially in data centers and semiconductor industries where they're really looking hard at the energy consumption and needing to move that down.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. So yeah, something as simple as, you know, a small electronic connector, it's so much more than a component with the things you can do with it.
So then my follow-up question to that is, what is your advice to industrial marketers? Because I do feel there are a lot of industrial marketers out there that think, oh, I'm going to talk about the labor issue, I'm going to talk about sustainability. And I feel like that those often end up being the big topics people talk about. What advice would you give to folks to stand out when talking about some of those issues that, while they are big issues, they may have become a little buzzwordy over time. What's your advice on standing out when a lot of people are trying to use that as their same angle?
I mean, you've got to go so much deeper, right? Because I feel the same way. So where we've found a way to stand out in navigating or bringing these topics into the fold, but having our own point of view because of the products we make, is making it really tangible. In a very practical way, being able to explain to someone how the choice of your solutions or what your products can do can achieve a really tangible goal around, you know, time reduction in servicing, modularity, like aspects of sustainability that tie into the end goals.
I think that's a great answer because one of the first things you said was you have to have a point of view. And I think you talked about it from having a tangible goal related to the things that connectivity does, that Harding does. But I think that's where a lot of people get stuck is they don't want to take a stance or they want to take a safe position to talking about sustainability or labor force. But I like that word point of view, which if I'm an industrial marketer out there, I'm thinking, what is my unique point of view that sets me apart in doing this? So I'm going to not flip the conversation, but change it a little bit to you're a marketing leader at Harding, and obviously you have to sell the rest of your team on the importance of marketing, especially in a changing world where I think a lot of industrial companies are finally starting to catch on to marketing as a revenue generator. It's not just the trade show booth. It's not just the white papers and all that. Where I'm leading to is, what does a CEO need to know about marketing in this day and age? Or what does a general manager, someone that's overarchingly seeing the business, what does that individual need to know?
Oh, I love this topic. I think, and I'm so lucky with a CEO that I work super closely with. He already naturally saw things this way, and so we're very aligned. And the way I say it to him and the way I say it to the whole global leadership team at Harding is that marketing's role in the organization is about building a reputation with audiences that matter. That's my phrase. And that's a big statement, and you can unpack that in a lot of ways. There are many audiences that matter. And so there's this element of thinking about who the end customer is first. And how you become thought of in the right light with them. So brand marketing, you know, yes, you could call it awareness. You can call it really tough to measure in some ways, is super important. So a CEO needs to understand that in some aspect, like in your gut, and know that they know that when CEO speaks to a CEO at a company you're trying to grow with, you know that the reputation of how that person sees your brand makes a difference.
Yeah.
And they know that great marketing can move that person. So there's a piece of that they need to believe in, and that the CEO and the marketing leader need to be aligned on. And then there's the spectrum down to where marketing becomes science and you are driving pipeline and able to connect the dots to the initiatives that you're undertaking, that they are, you know, impacting that.
I like that you use the word reputation when you describe, because it's not just awareness. It's like, what's the reputation? What's the thing that gets said at the bar conversation about your company after hours or breakfast over coffee, whatever it is? I love that statement. I love that quote.
And I would add, like, reputation goes so much beyond product. And I think that's this other thing.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
In this space, we're product companies at heart. We love our products. We want to get into talking about the products. But sometimes the product itself isn't the thing that your reputation is built around. It may be the company and the services around it.
Yeah.
We certainly hear that in customer research that we do. I've heard it directly from customers I've spent time with in my first year. Their impression of Harding, it's about the product, but it's about so much more than the product.
Yeah.
It's the relationship with us. There's so much more why we're different.
I totally get it. I'm kind of like I'm not forcing this to be a theme of this like overarching interview right now, but we talked about customer success in the last interview and how a lot of organizations are building up their customer success organizations for the first time. And it's no coincidence that as marketing is getting more attention in the manufacturing world, we're seeing customer success get more attention. Because back to your comment about reputation, how it's not always about product, it's about the feeling, it's how you get served by that company. It all totally checks out. So awesome conversation so far. I do have a couple other questions around your perspectives on where marketing is going and like what you're focused on right now. So before we get to where it's going, what is your number one marketing focus for 2024? What are you focused on here in the present? What are you hoping to learn more about? Whatever way you want to answer it.
It's a really exciting year for the marketing team at Harding. So our big focus is where we've been kind of ending 2023 and moving into 2024 is getting really industry segment focused with our marketing. So going from where a lot of us start, which is kind of broad, maybe product focused marketing, to it may be the same product category, but how do we talk about it differently to us? You know, for us, I mentioned some of our verticals, to a rail industry segment that's thinking different about power and data, to a machinery industry segment, and even then sub-segments. So that's our first step is segment-focused positioning. And we're really starting with smart positioning and messaging before we even talk about channels, you know, or our marketing execution. And doing demand generation towards each segment uniquely.
Yeah.
Super excited. We're on the journey there. And then as the 2024 continues, we want to bring that a level deeper into truly like account-based motions, ABM, ABX for the marketers out there that are familiar, where we, like a lot of, I think, B2B industrial marketers, you sell to, you're targeting a lot of big enterprises over the long haul. And you can get pretty individually focused and going even a level deeper beyond segment to a certain account.
Yeah. No, I love your mix of strategy and tactics in that segment-focused positioning, mixing in ABM, mixing in demand gen. I know there are going to be a lot of marketing folks out there listening to this. I hope everyone knows what ABM out there is by now, account-based marketing, but it's a journey for everyone. People are in different spots.
It's a journey for everybody, and I think it's newer to us in industrial than it is other parts of
the B. Yep. I do have one. I was going to say, how do you pick the segments without being like, we need to go after every segment? Because I feel like that's what a lot of people default to, where it's like, we could serve every market. It's like, when you market to everyone, you market to no one.
Yeah, yeah. This is one of my favorite things, actually, is it's very strategic. And it's a partnership with your CEO and your GMs of your business. And we spend time on this. We just had an offsite on it this week, actually, where you've got to look at every segment and the addressable market in each segment, the share you currently have. Like you are wargaming, you are game planning in this mode, and you've got to look at your product market fit per segment, your resources per segment, and think about where do I want to place my bets? Kind of a strategy.
Yeah,
and
but you're not picking everyone.
No,
you got to be. Yeah,
you're not picking everyone, and you're not putting equal weight on everyone.
Yeah. Well, the last question I've got for you for this conversation then is, what is your big bet for industrial marketing 2 or 3 years down the line? Where do you see things going from here?
So interesting. So I think this is partially going to be, I feel like, the answer that everyone says right now, or I'm going to throw out another buzzword that we haven't mentioned yet, which is AI.
Sure.
But like, stick with me here. I think industrial marketer teams, we are small, scrappy teams, all of us. And I don't see that part changing.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
See that part changing. We that's the way we're going to keep operating.
Yeah.
But I think we are going to get so much better because of what AI is bringing to the table. So a small, scrappy team's ability to suddenly generate good content at scale has never been more possible.
Yeah.
Than with what our tool set is now all of a sudden bringing to us.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Yeah. 2-3 years down the road, I think we're going to get that stuff figured out and how it can really serve us.
So the last piece of advice I want to hear from you then is, how do you make sure people stick to the good content versus if they can generate more, they might settle for okay content?
Oh, it's definitely a worry.
Yeah.
It's something everyone's got. Because also, the volume of content out there is going to grow because
I've already seen it.
Because people will be fine with okay content. So the noise is just going to get worse.
I used to be able to post any video of me drinking a beer and talking about industrial automation and everyone would see it. Now there's just like so much other stuff out there. And admittedly, and you know, that was kind of
campy.
Yeah, it was the one the series started, it was more campy than it is now. So yeah. I'm always trying to figure out what I could do.
Well, but I think to break through the noise, so we're all going to hear that noise. Mm-hmm. So it's upon those of us that want to do it well.
Yeah.
To not, I don't know, fall to that and ensure that the quality review checks and the editing and all of that stuff is done, that you're proud of what you're putting out there and that is truly personalized enough to be relevant.
Having marketing integrity. That's a new word I'm coming up
with. Oh, it's beautiful. I'm gonna just use that one.
Steal away, borrow away, whatever you want to do. Let's cheers to that. Great way to
that.
And so great having you on here.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Okay, we got a bit tactical there. ABM, picking the segments you need to go after. AI came up again, similar to how it came up before. Artificial intelligence is an opportunity to scale content creation, but you got to have your message down, you got to know your audience, and you need to have your point of view as well to make it effective in scaling. If you're listening to this and you want to learn more, hey, make sure you connect with Amanda Marks, all of our guests in this episode. You can find out how to connect with them over at the show notes page by going to manufacturinghappyhour.com/175. The next round of our interview is coming up right after a word from our sponsor. Clash of the Grinders Student Edition is a high-stakes grinding and welding competition that pits soon-to-be pros against each other to find rising stars in the skilled trades. You can catch this one-of-a-kind video series now by subscribing to 3M Abrasives YouTube channel by going to manufacturinghappyhour.com/3M. Think of this series like a manufacturing reality show, where the top winner receives a whopping $10,000 scholarship sponsored by FANUC. Now, why is 3M doing this? Well, 3M is on a mission to create 5 million skilled trade and STEM learning experiences designed to inspire curiosity, improve educational outcomes, and provide transformational opportunities for underrepresented individuals. Make sure to subscribe to 3M Abrasives on YouTube so that you don't miss a single new episode of Clash of the Grinders Student Edition. Again, manufacturinghappyhour.com/3M will take you right there. And now, back to today's episode. Last but certainly not least is my friend Melissa Gertz, Director of Marketing at Gray Solutions. Now, if you're a regular listener, you've heard about Gray Solutions on this show before. You got to know that they're a very innovation-forward systems integrator that's really going beyond the definition of what a typical system integrator does. I do want to disclose that Gray Solutions is a sponsor of this show, but I think you know I'm selective about who I pick as a partner for this podcast. And as far as innovation, leadership, and in this case, marketing goes, I always see Gray Solutions as an industry-leading organization in all of these areas, which is why I'm also happy to have Melissa on the show finally, because I feel like her and I are always coordinating in the background, and I think it's due time that she jumps on. This is a very strong interview for ending this series. Maybe it's because we each had a drink at this point and had been at the party for an hour, but this interview is definitely a bit more of a two-way conversation. And if you are a marketer that's trying to get traction with your leadership team or with your sales team, I think you're really going to find that Melissa has some really helpful stuff to share here. No need for me to slow things down. Let's jump in. Well, cheers. Welcome to Manufacturing Happy Hour, Melissa.
So excited.
It's great to have you here. I mean, people that listen to this show regularly are no stranger to Gray Solutions or that come to the parties we throw. Like, there's some good history.
We've had some fun, right?
Yeah, we've had fun. This will be the third person from Gray that's ever appeared on the show as well. So, excellent trajectory to continue. And this is an interesting opportunity because you're the last interview in our little segment that we're doing here at the Industrial Marketing Summit. And we've also talked with Gray Solutions about marketing a little bit on the show, very slightly with Walker Maddox, probably like 20 episodes ago now. Maybe not that many, but it's time.
You're a busy man, Chris.
Time goes by so quickly, and you guys jump on the show all the time, which is great. But I want to get your perspective as a marketing leader at Gray. What does a rebrand really mean to a company like an industrial company? Because you recently went through one, and I'd love to hear what it really is versus more than, hey, let's change the logo, change the website, change the color scheme, all that stuff. I want to hear from you.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's typically when people think of a rebrand, that's what they think of, right? Like, we need to refresh our logo. We maybe need to refresh our tagline or make some website updates. But really, rebranding is an opportunity to realign with the buyer's journey, right? Like, the buyer's journey evolves and it changes.
Yeah.
And it's so important to make sure that your strategy and your brand reflects that and addresses the buyer needs. So I saw a study recently that showed that nearly half of all B2B buyers, not retail buyers, but B2B buyers are doing the majority of their research online before ever reaching out to a company.
It makes total sense.
So think about something you bought in the last year, like a big purchase that you made. Did you do any research before?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Because it's so easy. Part of it, it's just like, and I think people miss that you're going to behave the same way at work in a lot of the ways you behave in your regular life.
I think people have associated that with a retail behavior in the past, right?
Yeah.
But now it's in the B2B space. And so a rebrand is an opportunity to make sure that your story is on point, that your story can accurately tell what you're about and what you do, whether you're in the room or not, because a growing majority percentage of the time, you're not going to be in the room. If those buyers are doing that research beforehand,
yep,
you better make sure that your story, your 24/7 salesperson, your website,
yep,
can tell that story really, really well.
Yeah. Well, I think I like how you combine, it's not only the buyer's journey, but also how the story plays into that as well. You're thinking about how the story resonates with a buyer throughout the process. And I think it's very important to keep those both in mind, especially when I feel like people use storytelling and buyer's journey as two very buzzwordy aspects.
Sure. And well, they have to be combined, right? Like, that the story has to appeal to that buyer's journey. And we talk about a buyer's journey in a sense of like, oh, well, we're selling them. They have needs, and we have solutions for them, right? And so it's about making sure that our solutions are known, that they tell that story so that, you know, it addresses that need when they visit your site or they interact with you or they interact with your brand in some aspect, whether it's in the physical or digital space.
Well, this might segue into the next question I'm going to ask you, because I always look at Gray Solutions. I hold you in high regard in pretty much every element you can hold, like an industrial company, in high regard. But I feel like you really get marketing. So I'd love to hear the flip side. Like, what is the common mistake that you feel a lot of industrial companies or industrial marketers make when it comes to getting attention, getting their word out there, all the things that go into marketing?
Absolutely. And I may not be popular for saying this, but there's a lot of sea of sameness out there, right? Like, there's a lot of companies that look at those that are leading in this space and say, well, how do I do that? How do I be that? How do I, you know, do I need to modify my logo? Do I need to you know, change my website? Or what do I need to do to be that company?
It's funny, because in the last interview we talked about, it's like, hey, sustainability and workforce. Those are all the hot buttons in the industry right now. How do you separate yourself when a lot of people are telling that same story, we'll call it?
Exactly. And it's about being authentic. Like, that's what it comes down to. It's like, your story, like, it's good to know what's happening in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And you can see who, you know, who are doing it. Those that are doing it well are doing it well because they're authentic to themselves. Like, they know what they're good at. They have their story tight and it represents them well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that you need to follow that example, but not follow them exactly. And so, sure, I think that's the key, is it truly being authentic and understanding who you are. And we've talked about this before. I said it's top to bottom. It's from, you know, it's digital, it's physical, mm-hmm, it's swag, it's all of the things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've used this analogy before, but, you know, for Gray Solutions, you know, in a world of blue polos, like, we're a black hoodie. Like, that's who we are.
Yeah.
We, and the rebrand and going through that was truly being an understanding, like, who we are. Because you've interacted with a lot of Gray Solutions people.
Yeah.
Are we polo people or are we hoodies?
We're hoodie people.
We're hoodie people.
And bomber jacket people.
And bomber jacket. So don't Nikes. Nice. I didn't bring my jacket. Nikes tonight, but you know.
I wore my bomber jacket down here. I also have a branded bomber jacket as well. I love right, bomber jackets.
Right? We're all about the swag.
No, it's very cool. It's very cool what you do. And we're going to do a little test here because when I think of, this is a test for me, kind of, okay, because when I think of your brand and everything, I think of the things you do well. You're very good in CPG. You're very good in food and beverage. Like, you don't make that message. It's like, we do every industry under the sun. I feel like when I see what you do, you're very specific about the industries. You just knock it out of the park in. And it kind of ties into everything else that you do. Like, not only I see the specific spaces where you do well, and I tie that in with the feeling that I get to everything else that goes in the brand, the people I interact with it, your company, the way you serve your customers, all of that.
It's the experience, the whole experience.
Yeah. So that's at least what I feel from it. And this is an interesting question because I do, like I said, I think your company really gets marketing. What would you want your executive team to understand about your job if they were sitting here right now? Or what do they already understand about your job?
That's probably a better question because I think I've worked for companies in the past who say they want marketing.
Yeah.
But then they also say, but this is how we do things.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Or have not fully committed to what having or investing in marketing means, either from a resource or financial standpoint. Our leadership team, I wouldn't need to ask that question, or they wouldn't ask, you know, what is marketing doing, or is, you know, I would need to tell them that information about what I'm doing because they're so involved. They're so involved. We have sat around this table. I think that's the cool thing is even with the rebrand project, there were several leadership members, including Walker, CEO, and others who were heavily involved in that project, not because they wanted to keep tabs on what marketing was doing and to keep us in line, but because that they wanted to be a part of this experience and
sure,
they believe and they see the value in it and want to make sure that they push us. And that was really their Walker's charge. Walker, our CEO's charge to the marketing team was, I want you to push as hard and as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And let me be the one to tell you, like, okay, we need to rein it in a little.
Sure.
And that's awesome. So what I would tell our leadership and what I want them to know is thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, thank you for investing in what we're doing and for understanding the value of what marketing can do for an organization, because I feel like that's not a norm.
Yeah.
And my hope is that it will become more.
Yeah. So we're not going to get philosophical here, but I bet there are people listening to this right now that just aren't in that position right now.
Or they have been there.
Sure.
Hard.
So what do you do in that position? Or are we going to see like companies that have good marketing and bad marketing? Are we really going to see the good ones rise and the bad ones fall? Like, you know, what's your thought there? What advice do you have for someone that's in that role? They have all the marketing talent in the world, but maybe their leadership team doesn't understand what it's all about.
That's a really hard position to be in. And I think to your first part of your question, I do think that's where we'll see the industry end up. I think that there are companies in this industry that see the value or have invested or are starting to invest in marketing. And I think that there are a number of companies, probably a large percentage of companies that have not gotten there and may never get there. Mm-hmm. And I think what we'll see is that we'll see a bigger divide in terms of company success and growth and profitability for those that who have made that investment or are in the process of making it. And so that's okay. I mean, if the other companies are not wanting to invest and they're wanting to stay their, you know, size and they're wanting to just, you know, keep their business moving along, but maybe not at a higher growth trajectory, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
And so it's not discounting that. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to leadership has to be bought in or they're going to be a constraint on the marketing team, right? Like, you can say all day that you want marketing, but if you're not willing to make that investment and willing to, and I would say investment, not even from a financial standpoint, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also an investment in terms of like, I'm committing to this, right?
Sure.
I'm being intentional. Yeah. We're going to focus on marketing. We're going to focus on building our brand. We're going to focus on telling our story.
Investment of time and energy.
Time, resources, and money. And money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not able to invest everything financially, right? Some organizations are not able to do that. It can be done over time if the the philosophy and the strategy is that we are focused on marketing, and you can break that into chunks. Like that strategy can be pieced out, or you can start somewhere. But if the leadership team is not bought in on the value of marketing, unfortunately, you're going to be really in a tough position.
Are you thinking maybe some of these leaders can start to get out of their own way by coming to an event like we're at right now, like the Industrial Marketing Summit? Is it ego? Like, are some of these people beyond help, or are there things that like? I'm trying to think about this. I'm looking in my own crystal ball right now. It's like, marketing hasn't always been the biggest thing for the industrial world for a long time.
Right.
So I can understand why a leader would not be investing in it or not taking it seriously or not maybe learning about it the way they should right now. And I'm also just thinking about where we are right now. It's like, gosh, you know, I'm sure not all of these folks are going to be in their own way forever. They could come to something like this and they can learn a bit more. It's like, I get it now. Like there, I think, I don't know. What do you think about that? That's just where we are here at the end of the interview, towards the end of the interview.
Sure. I mean, I think there are some, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. That they can immerse themselves in an experience like this and see the value and understand, you know, what we're up against. You know, that there's a lot of great research out there in this industry that show, you know, how many engineers click on or download a white paper.
Right.
That boggles my mind. I don't click on white papers because I don't want to give up my email address. Engineers all day long.
Yeah.
Love it. They love the concept.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, it's information like that that can be a huge asset to your organization in terms of growth.
Yeah.
And I think somebody hearing that information, and sometimes it takes it coming from a reputable organization or conference or an outside resource, right? I do think there are others that, like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, they have to see it. They have to see others being successful doing it to embrace it and adopt it and start to see those small wins to then kind of reinforce it further.
So there's, I think, one thing I heard you say in that. It's like, you can kind of show some of the data to be like, you should probably start taking this seriously. And I do think a lot of, especially engineering background executives, which our industry has a lot of, like, are wired that way. And whether it's hearing that at an event, whether that's hearing it from, I also think individuals are doing a good job of kind of poking at these leaders a little bit, not like poking at them like in a negative way, but they're starting to see what a personal brand does for a company, or they're starting to see what little changes in a marketing strategy can do. And I think that's chipping away at some of the doubt that might have been around marketing.
Absolutely. Here's the other cool thing too is, every individual within a company or within an organization has the ability to have an impact. Mm-hmm. So if there are people in the organization that have, you know, do see the value of marketing, they do want their organization to push, you know, put more of a commitment into that. There are a lot of really strong individuals in terms of personal brands within one organization, right? Like, we know people follow people, not companies, right? So who are your leaders in the organization that have a strong network, that are out there, that are talking to people? Because if they get that message out there and they can be that example, mm-hmm. so that up and coming marketer, that solo marketer in an organization who's wearing more hats than, you know, you could have a hat rack for, like, those are your people.
Yeah.
Go to them, have them work their personal networks, because that could be your small win to your leadership team.
Yeah. I feel like if I were to summarize this, we've talked about small wins. We've talked about little, like, folks on your team that can be the personal brands. We've talked about showing data. And we talked about events like this that we're at right now are ways that, so if you are a marketer that's in a tough position right now, know that there are ways that things can change over time. Some of that's on you as the marketer to make that happen.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited for what's to come. What is your number one focus around marketing this year? Last year, I feel like, was the rebrand. This. So what are you focused on now?
Sell more stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like... And I
good answer as a marketer.
Yeah,
right? It's like, we're going to make more content. You're like, no, sell
more
stuff. That's what we do.
You know, I think that, and I censored myself there, but it would have been sell more.
We get it. Yeah
got it.
This is a bar podcast.
I was going to go there, but
I swear if you want. Okay. Well, everyone's figured out what it was already. Fair. So, yeah.
At the end of the day, this is the other thing too, where I think some organizations maybe go wrong, and I've experienced this, so that's why I can kind of speak to it. Our team is not a marketing team. We are a sales and marketing team. And that is really clear. Like, that is a really interesting concept. You would think, okay, you got sales brains, you got marketing brains. Like, those don't go together. It's so important that they do. It's so important that they do, because here's what happens typically. Marketing goes off and is like, we're going to do all this cool stuff and we're going to go and we're going to focus on these things. And then sales is over here like, what the heck is marketing making us do now? Like, why are we doing this? We're trying to sell this. They're talking about this. And it just creates this huge disconnect. It's,
yeah.
It's a detriment to the organization and to progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our focus, we went from building the brand to now we need more people to know about our brand. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that the sales and marketing strategy is aligned. And so that's our big focus right now, is making sure that we're forming that alliance. We're making sure that we're walking in step with the sales side of our team so that we can really truly make progress as an organization. So, like,
yeah,
that's absolutely our focus for this year.
Huge. I mean, may seem obvious to some, but to make that like the mic drop insight at the end, it's like it's sales and marketing. It's like it's combined. Like, you're working together to make things happen. I think if a lot of people walk away with that takeaway, it's like, oh yeah, maybe if we just acted like started acting, not acting,
like,
but started being the
here,
same
right?
Team.
Like, if we can be all like, it's not, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And actually, you can make so much more progress when you're aligned.
I have no doubt. Very cool. I know we talked about your predictions for marketing a little earlier. Like, we talked about how there'll be this divide of companies that are leveraging it, companies that are not. Do you have any other predictions for what we might see 2 or 3 years down the line in the industrial marketing world that we're in? I'm asking everyone this question,
sure,
which is why I'm rapid with this.
I think we'll see, and it's, I wouldn't say this is super specific to industrial, but it will impact the industrial space, that more and more, like a higher percentage, I actually saw a study, it was something like 80% of sales interactions will occur in a digital space within the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And again, that's kind of crazy to think, right? And that's not selling necessarily. Like, we're not funneling someone through a field and they're filling out a form and then we have a sales order and a PO and all of that, right? Like, that's not the case. It's not this industry. It's way too custom for that.
Yeah.
However, the majority of the sales interactions will occur digitally.
Okay.
So I see a trend, not necessarily moving away from this relationship-based sales approach. In the past, it's always been, well, I know a guy, right? Like,
right.
I know a guy, and we've worked together for years. We've given them all of our business, and it's been very relationship-oriented. That will still be a huge factor in this, the ability to both build relationships and continue them. But the reality is the digital world is going to need to pick up more of that responsibility in the coming years. And I think that this industry is going to be impacted more than we think by that. I think people think, well, that's outside of our space. Like, you can't do a walk-through facility digitally, right? Like, no, you can't. But like, the majority of the buyer's journey could have occurred digitally. And I think that's what we need to account for.
Great point. Great way to end it. The other way to end it, we didn't even do it.
No, cheers.
To start. That was my fault. Cheers.
Cheers.
Melissa, thank you so much for jumping on Manufacturing Happy Hour.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Chris.
Bottoms up.
How about those final thoughts? We are a sales and marketing team. I think you heard it. That's the one that really stuck out for me, and it totally makes sense that Melissa from Gray Solutions would say that based on what she said her focus was for 2024, which was sell more effing stuff. She's focused on driving revenue. Also, I clearly need to remember to do a toast at the beginning of these interviews. Aside from the first one, all of these, I basically forgot it each time. Anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you to the Industrial Marketing Summit for making this episode happen. Seriously, one of the best events I've been to. Again, there were just over 200 people there this year, and I know for a fact there will be more when this event goes on again in 2025 and beyond. If you want to connect with anyone from this interview, go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/175. Plus, you'll find links to learn more about the Industrial Marketing Summit. And of course, look up Cedar Door so you know where to bounce if you're on 6th Street in Austin, Texas. You know, I talked about it earlier, but I liked what Carrie had to say about working with product management teams in our first interview. You got to understand who your audience is and know when to be more techie, but you also need to find a way to get their attention too, right? You can get into the details, but but you need to have that initial hook, especially when we're going to be targeting younger audiences now and moving into the future. That was one of my biggest takeaways from that first conversation. Next up, when we had Amanda, I think her point about having a point of view was so critical, especially when it feels like a lot of manufacturers are trying to say the same thing or highlight the same things as differentiators. And also, to quote myself one more time, having marketing integrity in the age of artificial intelligence will be critical. You heard it in the first interview as well. Don't get lazy and let AI ruin your marketing. Finally, in that conversation you were just listening to, you need to fully commit to your marketing investment, your marketing strategy. Pick your industries of focus, build a brand that represents your point of view. You need to stop trying to appeal to everyone, and you need to focus on appealing to your hell yes customers, the ones that really want to work with you. And by the way, those also just happen to be the people that you're most capable of serving. Hey, marketing is a revenue generator, and I think one of the main reasons folks aren't getting the results they want out of their marketing is that they don't have the holistic strategy that allows them to confidently double down on their marketing investment. Keyword there, investment. All right, that was my quick summary from this episode. Few announcements before we get going. First, if you want to connect with folks like the ones we talked to today, join the Manufacturing Happy Hour industry community by going to manufacturinghappyhour.com/community. I know there are people listening to this episode that should be in that group that aren't today. Shoot me a note on LinkedIn. Let me know you're interested in joining. It's a private group, so you got a request to join, and I would love to get you in this crew of other manufacturing leaders. Again, manufacturinghappyhour.com/community. That'll take you straight to our private group on LinkedIn. Okay, some sponsors to thank this week. First, Swipe Guide. Second, 3M. Thank you both for supporting the show and making this possible. And then I do want to give an additional thank you to Cadenas Parts Solutions, Adam Beck over there, Wendy Covey at True Marketing, and Joe Sullivan at Gorilla 76. Those three companies and those three individuals were some of the biggest drivers behind making the Industrial Marketing Summit happen. So I want to thank them not only for pulling that off, but also for inviting Manufacturing Happy Hour to be a part of it. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Stay innovative, stay thirsty. I'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for listening to Manufacturing Happy Hour. Powered by the Industrial Network.